Well, Jackson says the dashboard provides a high-level look at those projects. That was part of OMB's goal by making public the basics of the programs to add accountability and transparency to the entire technology budget, to the entire technology effort. Jackson says that transparency is helpful, but he plans on taking the information to the next level.
The dashboard is at a very high level. I want to go at a more granular level and be able to have the right level of conversation with the right people around projects that are in our area within EPA, and then be able to see where I can or we can work more collaboratively with our business partners in being able to drive the right type of conclusions that we're looking for. It's around cost, it's around scheduling, it's around contingency planning. I want to really dig into things because one of the challenges, if you will, I see with the dashboard is it's at such a high level, it doesn't allow me to manage things at the level that I need to be able to manage it to have the type of effect that I want to have.
Others shared Jackson's comments about the dashboard today at the AFSCME Bethesda breakfast. John Teeter is the deputy CIO at the Department of Health and Human Services. He says the dashboard created a standard language to talk about projects government-wide. In fact, Teeter said the HHS had a language which he called lingua franca. I thought that was a very interesting term he used.
There you go.
And he says that the dashboard actually provided one for all of government. In fact, Teeter says the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, has one of their investments on the high priority list that OMB just released recently, and the dashboard gives HHS a standard way to view the investment and the progress FDA is making toward fixing it.
Well, I'm fascinated by this idea that that the dashboard doesn't go far enough, and we've seen dashboards that go farther in other places. So, Mr. Jackson, what's he say? How does he want to further oversee EPA's IT projects?
Well, Jackson has only been with EPA for about 2 months. Most of his previous career was in the private sector. But he says EPA is really too decentralized and would like to move to a more centralized model. And part of moving to that centralized model means changing EPA's processes.
What we want to do is put a process in place that feeds the OMB process, but digs in a little bit deeper. So as an example, OMB just looks at a total cost of a project. We're going to break apart those projects. So we're going to break it down from support costs, new development costs, and in fact, we're also going to look at enhancements as well. Because what I want to do is kind of look for ways to drive down my support costs, challenge teams to go out and find ways to drive down what their overall support costs are. If that means they're doing work in their support areas, then we'll be looking to see if there's opportunities there. Now, we may find that there may not be, but I would argue that there probably is ways to drive down that cost.
Jackson says he also wants to look at development costs. Remember, we have steady state, we have DME, development modernization enhancement. He says there needs to be more rigor in those processes where agencies would, let's say, cap how much money they want to spend on enhancements and then have a steering committee oversee that spending.
We're getting deeper involved structurally in terms of how we want to have those types of conversations. We have 21, the whole process of the CPIC or this is a process I've had to learn since being here. The list of projects and how it goes to OMB. All the projects that's over $3 million, we've got 21 of those within the EPA. What we're going to do is we're instituting a process where we will be reviewing every one of those projects on a quarterly basis. We're looking at what OMB is using in terms of their dashboard, but we're going to dig a little deeper. We don't want to create additional work.
Jackson says he likes to take a risk-based approach and believes strongly in contingency planning. He says he goes through the potential risks with the business owners before a project even gets started, talks about what can be done to mitigate them, and in fact, they all agree, the CIO office and the business owner, they agree to a contingency plan should something go awry. This was, as I said, Jackson's only been in the position for about 2 months. This was his first public speaking time, that we all got to hear him in
right.
The IT community. And one interesting trait that I learned about him, which is the fact that he's not a risk taker. He says he does not like to be on the bleeding edge. Instead, he prefers to borrow things that already work in other agencies or other organizations.
Happy to be second.
I think that's a common thing for a lot of CIOs, especially I hear that a lot around cloud computing, where they say, well, let me see how things go, and then maybe I'll jump on as I've seen the difference in the benefits that others have taken.
Yeah, I know there's been a lot of discussion among CIOs. They don't really like dashboards, but they've been talking about how effective it is. Any consensus yet?
Well, I think the CIOs believe dashboards are being helpful and they are making a difference, and there's several reasons. I guess the politically correct one is because the administration likes it, it's a priority, so they of course like it. But I think also they said it's a less top-down approach in terms of oversight than the previous Bush administration, and maybe more importantly, the non-IT senior officials understand what the dashboard is saying, how the projects are doing. In fact, I caught up with Darren Ash, the CIO at the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. He moderated the panel. He says the dashboard gave him the ability to have discussions with system owners and senior officials.
It's forced me to do a better job explaining things in non-techie talk, really plain English. I think the other thing is it has helped reinforce the notion of the need for a strong governance structure where it's not just the CIO running things. It's a collaborative and a partnership effort between myself, between the CFO, with the other senior leaders. It's not just the CIO. That's the one thing that's really truly helped.
Ash adds that non-IT officials recognize their role and the importance of their programs and that they need to work with the CIO's office to be successful all around. Many times you hear a project that gets started down the right path and then it's just given to the CIO. Well, the CFO and the program people understand, hey, we got to work together. Now, John Teeter from HHS says the dashboard has helped his agency focus on the project at different levels.
We have begun to monitor things with the dashboard at the investment level. IT is really managed at the project level. And so there's going to be an inherent conflict or added complexity as you pull all of that together and you roll those projects up to the investment level. What we've done is we've drilled down and we have what we're calling an enterprise performance lifecycle that we apply at the project level that requires that certain things be addressed at the appropriate times within the lifecycle of a project. And these are our operational project and development activities as well.
Teeter adds that most agencies need to apply more attention to the projects in the operation and maintenance phase, asking whether it provided the benefit initially intended. Teeter also says many times technology people fail to review whether the system is indeed meeting the program's needs, whether there are tweaks that can be made to better meet those needs, and whether, you know, continuing along the O&M phase really makes sense at all. Maybe after a certain time period, you have to say, you know, this is not meeting our needs. We've got to move on to something else, or we need to take it in a different direction. And it was a very interesting kind of perspective that we got because the dashboard is still fairly new, but people have had now probably about a year into it, and they're really showing, okay, here's the difference it's making. And the other thing that came up that was really interesting was the TechStat sessions where they said, yeah, we may not necessarily always like them from an oversight perspective,
right,
but they are very much more collaborative and inclusive, and there was a lot of support for that type of environment.